The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an anointed message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
The spirit of fear. There's a lot of fear in our world today. The COVID thing, of course, there's been lots of fear because of that. It does appear that there's a second wave of that coming along. In Europe, they've shut down many of the nations in Europe, the UK. Just a couple nights ago, they were supposed to have quarantined everybody, not everybody's happy about it. The streets, people were supposed to be off the streets. That night, thousands of people were out in the streets protesting, being quarantined and shutting the country down. But I can tell you, this is coming, most likely coming to the United States as well, because of this virus and this pandemic that we're dealing with. And if that's the case worldwide, I'm trying to warn everybody. You need to prepare yourself, your hearts, and prepare your life for what could very well be coming. And if they shut down, if everything has to shut down because of this virus, economically, it will shut the world down. And that's not a good thing for anybody. I'm not saying right or wrong. I'm just telling you the consequences of shutting the nations down. And there will be economic consequences because of this. And each and every one of us could suffer because of it. So I'm telling you, pray, press into God, get as close to your Lord as possible. This is the same message that I've been giving you for several months now. You know, I haven't changed that message. Get close to the Lord, because things are happening in our world, in our election. It's craziness that's going on. And it's not over yet. It's going to continue. What's going on in other nations and all the things, the rumors of war, wars and rumors of war are taking place, ethnic group against ethnic group. Let's not allow that to happen in the church, in the body of Christ. Let's love one another in spite of our differences. We may have some political differences, but we must walk in love toward one another. Right. Amen? Okay? That's most important. We may have a lot of differences in regards to our life and the way that we live our lives. But the love of Jesus Christ is supposed to, according to the Word of God, if we have the love of Christ, it will cast out all fear. So we can walk in love toward one another, no matter what's going on. So as I talk about fear and the spirit of fear this morning, I want to make it perfectly clear. There are things that can bring fear upon us, things that are happening in the world. And I want you to know that according to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, God has not given us the spirit of fear. You all know this scripture. But of power and of love and of a sound mind. But I would like to say this. Fear is a human condition. Do we all believe that? We know, you know, God had built into us a certain amount of ability to fear certain things so that we could stay safe. But fear can also be something that will overtake us, that can control us and become dominant in our life. A young cadet was in the service of paratroopers. It was from deep in Kentucky, in the mountains of Kentucky, and commanding officer was examining, you know, how they line them up, and they were checking out all the cadets, and he was polished and shining, and he was looking good, and he had his jacket on, and the officer looked at him, and he said, He looked him over real good, and he saw this thread hanging down from his jacket. And he said, "Cadet, your jacket is frayed." And the young man shot back right away. And remember, he was way down, way out in the woods. He said, "Sir, pardon me, sir, but this here jacket, well, I messed that up." So it's funnier that I messed it up than the joke was. I'll tell it again sometimes and I'll get it right. But my whole point is, it was supposed to be that we ain't supposed to be afraid of anything. That's what the cadet said. This here jacket ain't afraid of nothing. And we ain't afraid of nothing. Because we have the Lord God on our side. Hallelujah. All right, well, that brings me to an understanding of this human emotion that we have. When we have a fear of something, our mind, it doesn't distinguish between a real fear and a psychologically perceived fear. We can have some perceived fears. As far as our mind, our will, and our emotions are concerned, psychologically, the threat is real to us. You feel it. You recognize it. You have those emotions. That's why when someone says, they tell you about their fear, and it seems like it's really irrational, illogical to you, but you can see that it's real to them. It's a real fear, and we all have some of those things probably in our life. That's why, you know, we can, one person can fear one thing, and somebody else can fear another, and they both may be illogical, they may be irrational, but they're real fears. I took this from a website. It says, "Fear is a natural, powerful human emotion. It involves a universal biochemical response as well a high individual emotional response. Fear alerts us to the presence of danger or the threat of harm, whether the danger is physical or just psychological." Psychologists call this the flight or fight mode. It's your body, your mind, and your body preparing to either fight or run away from a perceived danger. You know, things like, you know, our body tenses up when we see something like a car coming up. The other day, I think we were leaving church, and on our way from the church, a car swerved over into our lane. Don't know what he was doing, most likely texting. That's what we all usually do when we lose track of what we're doing. But he swerved over in our lane, and he realized he was coming into our lane. He whipped it back real quick. I thought he was going to flip the car over. He whipped it back so quick. But automatically, Tammy and I both tensed up. That's part of this fear mechanism that God put in us. It causes us to prepare for whatever it is that's coming our way. Now, I say all this to remind you that fear is just, it's something that God placed in us when it comes upon us like a situation like that to protect us, to help us. It's a design of Almighty God. It is a human emotion. When my grandkids, when they spend the night with us, from time to time, Papaw, I have to put the fear of Papaw in my grandkids. Now, I don't do this because I want them to be afraid of me and walk around trembling. But there are times that they have to realize that there's a certain amount of respect that they have for their Papaw, and if they don't show that respect, there's going to be consequences. Amen? And yes, at that point, now they don't fear me all the time. Sometimes they love me. But at that point, they fear the consequences of Papaw, what Papaw is going to do. And you know, this whole thing with fear is that we recognize there is consequences for what's happening, and we're trying to avoid those consequences. But when we have an illogical, exaggerated fear in our life, it's the scheme of the enemy to destroy you. It's the scheme of the enemy to keep you from walking in that abundant life that John 10:10 told us that God wants us to have. The thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came that we'd have that abundant life. And fear is part of what the thief is doing. He's trying to steal from us. All right, so fear can be just a normal human emotion. But fear can also become a phobia. Some of you know what I'm talking about. A phobia is an exaggerated, usually inexplicable and illogical fear of something. An object, a class of objects, a situation, people. An illogical, irrational fear of things. Now I got to tell you, I think I've probably mentioned this before, but I want you all to know, I have a mild fear or anxiety on Sunday mornings when I come to church. I've got to stand up in front of all these people. That's not a fun thing for me. But I recognize that it's irrational, it's illogical. This is what God has called me to, and I'm going to perform and complete that calling that He has placed in my life. But certain things happen in my body on Sunday morning. Some people have commented on this before. When they shake my hand, my hands are cold. You know why? That's my body reacting to the anxiety that I have. It's shutting down the blood flow to my extremities. The blood is going to my muscles. I'm preparing. I'm tensing up. I'm ready to either fight or flee. Sometimes the enemy wants me to flee, wants me to run out those doors. I choose to fight. Amen? And that's what I want you to do. Fight. A phobia is also defined as excessive, extreme, irrational fear or panic reaction about a situation, a living creature, a place, or an object. I want to give you an example of that out of the scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 18. In chapter 18, Saul is the king of Israel. And Saul has, up to this point, he was anointed by Samuel the prophet. He was called by God, but he turned from doing God's will. He was disobedient. And Samuel told him when he became disobedient, he took animals, he sacrificed them, and he did some things that he wasn't supposed to do. And Samuel came to him and he said, you know, what is all this going on, all these animals? And he said, well, we kept the best of them to sacrifice when God told him not to keep any animals or any people. They were all to be slaughtered in the war. Can't explain that to you. All I can tell you is what the scripture says. That's what he was supposed to do. And he was disobedient. He kept animals. He said, I'm going to sacrifice them to the Lord. And Samuel said to him, God requires obedience more than sacrifice. Obedience more than, and that's what God is looking for. He's looking for obedience. Sometimes obedience is sacrifice, but he's looking for an obedient group of people. And here's what happens. 1 Samuel 16 or 18, verse 6. Now it had happened as they were coming home when David was returning from the slaughter of the Philistine that the women had come out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines, with joy, with musical instruments. So the women said, as they danced and said, the women sang as they danced and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Now this seems like kind of an innocent situation, doesn't it? They were just singing, and they saw that David had a great victory, and David was the leader of Saul's, one of Saul's divisions of his army, and David was going out and massacring their enemy, the Philistines. So he had killed thousands of them. It seems innocent, but here's what happened in verse 8 and 9. Then Saul was very angry, and the saying displeased him. And he said, "They have ascribed to David 10,000. To me, they have ascribed only thousands. Now, what more can he have but the kingdom?" So Saul eyed David from that day forward. Saul became jealous of David. Now, you know, of course we have to, you probably all know the background of this situation. Saul was rejected. David was anointed as king. Saul knew this. Saul knew he was rejected. He knew that David was anointed to be king someday. So it started jealousy stirring up inside of him. And not only did he become jealous, he became very concerned about David and David's motives. David himself did nothing to deserve Saul's action. In fact, he was very loyal to Saul. A couple of times when Saul was chasing him in the wilderness, he had an opportunity to take Saul's life, and he refused to do it because he was the anointed of God, and David was loyal to Saul. But Saul allowed this jealousy and envy, this suspicion, to build up inside of him, and it invited the spirit of fear. It opened the door for the spirit of fear. Now, this is one way that the spirit of fear can enter and oppress a person. Let me read a few more of the scriptures here. It happened on the next day that a distressing spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the house. So David played music with his hand at other times, but there was a spear in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the spear, for he said, "I will pin David to the wall." But David escaped his presence twice. Not only once, but twice. He tried to pin him to the wall with a spear. Now David was afraid of Saul because the Lord was with him. Now Saul was afraid of David, because the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul. This fear, Saul opened the door for the fear because of his jealousy and envy, his suspicion. And this spirit of fear came upon Saul. And this is a way that we sometimes open the door for a spirit of fear to come into our life. A phobia is defined as excessive, extreme, irrational fear. There are some common causes of it, but I believe they're all based in this first cause. Traumatic experience. Now the professionals that I read said that there are actually three that they think. Traumatic experience, substance abuse, that's a traumatic experience. Raised by adults with phobias, that's a traumatic experience. So I think they're all connected to having a traumatic experience in your life. When we have traumatic experiences, the enemy will move in and take advantage of that. We need healing. If you have a phobia like that in your life, you need healing from the Holy Spirit. He can heal you. You have the greater one inside of you. You have the power of God. We do not have to put up with fears that try to over the spirit of fear. Let me share some common fears with you. Phobias, not just fears. Acrophobia is the fear of heights. Aerophobia is fear of flying. I'm not sure how to pronounce that one. Arachnophobia, yes, I did know that. Because, I'm going to share a story with you. Arachnophobia, fear of spiders. Astrophobia, fear of thunder and lightning. Autophobia, sounds like you're afraid of cars, but it's fear of being alone. Claustrophobia, fear of confined or crowded spaces. A lot of people have that one. Hemophobia, fear of blood. Hydrophobia, fear of water. Ophidophobia, fear, I butchered that one. Fear of snakes. Zoophobia, fear of animals. The next one is fear of chickens. Seems strange, doesn't it? Chlorophobia, fear of clowns. You'd be amazed how many people have a fear of clowns. Glossophobia, here's the big one, fear of public speaking. Some experts think that as much as 75% of the population have a fear of public speaking. And it varies in, you know, degrees. Sometimes it's minor. Sometimes it's very, very overwhelming for some people. When they get in front of people, they just freeze. But these are phobias. These are fears that I believe the enemy wants to bring on God's people to try to keep us from walking and living in that abundant life that we have. A man, this is supposedly a true story, a man in Tennessee had a pack or had several dogs that he used to hunt bear. And these were fierce dogs. And a guy went out, his friend went out with him with these dogs, and these dogs would track and corner bear, and they had no fear. And after they got this bear, the guy said, "Man, those dogs are amazing." His friend did. He said, "Are they afraid of anything?" He said, "Yeah, they're afraid of chickens." He said, "What?" He said, "Yeah, when they were little pups, we raised them here on the farm, and we had chickens, and those chickens would peck and chase and terrorize those children, those pups, and to this very day, they are still afraid of chickens." Some of you manly men in here, you have some phobias probably in your life that people might laugh at, but it's real. These are real. We laugh at a dog being afraid of a chicken, but it was real to those dogs. But I can tell you this, I believe with all my heart, we can be set free from those fears. God does not want us to be held back with phobias. My last point this morning is, fear is a spirit. Remember what 2 Timothy says. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. Now, he's not just making a light statement here. The word that is used here in the Greek, it is pneuma, and it can be used for Holy Spirit, Spirit of Christ, human spirit, or evil spirits. And that's what he's talking about here, is an evil spirit. This Greek word pneuma is never ever used to refer to a depersonalized force. In other words, it is an entity with a personality. The spirit of fear. A spirit, a simple essence, devoid of all or at least all grosser matter, and possessed of the power of knowing, desiring, deciding, and acting. These spirits, the spirit realm, the spirit world that is all around us, these spirits have personality. And the spirit of fear is a personality that wants to play out in your life. It wants to use its spirit, its emotions in your life so that it can fulfill its longing to touch your emotions. The spirit of fear is a real entity that wants to attach itself to God's people. In this verse, Paul is telling Timothy, fear is more than just a human emotion. Sometimes it can be a supernatural entity desiring to attach itself to people. Spirits need to attach themselves to people. I'm not talking necessarily about possession here, but I am talking about oppression. Many of God's people are oppressed by the spirit of fear, by the spirit of oppression, and by the spirit of depression. Many of God's people are being overcome by the spirit world, these spiritual entities who have personality, and they attach themselves to you so that they can feel that so that they can fulfill their longing. I know some of you are saying, man, Pastor Rob, you're getting way out there. Read your Bible. Come on. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, when he walked the earth, what did he do? He cast out devils, demons. And he said to us, he said, those who follow me, in my name, they will cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Wow. He told us we could do all these things, but one of the things we can do is stand against and cast away supernatural spiritual forces that want to attach themselves to us. Thank God we have been given that power. The greater one is living inside of me, inside of you. The greater one. Look, it says here, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us power, the spirit of power. The spirit of power is Holy Spirit. The spirit of love is Holy Spirit. He's given us this, the spirit of power, love. He's given us the spirit of a sound mind. What's the scripture say? It says we have the mind of Christ. That's what we must recognize. Is that the spirit that is trying to overcome us has nothing, no power over us as long as we recognize where our spiritual power comes from.
That's right.
Inside of me is Holy Spirit. Inside of you is Holy Spirit who wants you to walk in power, love, and sound mind every day.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Jesus promised this abundant life, but that's why we must put on the armor of God. Ephesians 6:11 says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What are the wiles of the devil? Well, the Greek word, methodia, it means cunning arts, deceit, craft, trickery. The New Living Translation translates this word wiles as strategies. The NIV translates it. I'm having some time problems this morning. Translate it, sit. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. I'm going to say this. Translates it, schemes of the devil. You must understand that this spirit of fear has a strategic plan to stop you. He has a desire. He wants to stop you from fulfilling the calling that God has placed on your life. But you have the ability to overcome. These are personalities who want to force you to feel their negative impact. But remember, 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Ephesians 6 tells us to put on the armor of God. And then Ephesians 12 tells us why. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. These are supernatural powers that we're wrestling against on a regular basis every day of our life. And unless we put on this armor of God, we will not be prepared to do battle with supernatural forces. We cannot do battle with supernatural forces in and of ourselves. That's why self-help programs don't work. You must have power of Holy Spirit working on your behalf to be able to overcome these supernatural forces. Powers, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness. These things are set up. They have ruling elites. They have order in their kingdom. So you must get wise about the order of God's kingdom and know who you are and recognize that they're There are things that you can do to be victorious in this battle. Several years ago, we started supporting a ministry in Haiti, Pastor Justy, and it was to poor children. And I'm thinking it was somewhere around 2001, 2002, but Jay Dewhurst was heading up our mission ministry at that time. And Jay and I decided that we wanted to take a trip to Haiti. So we made the plans and we went down to Haiti. Now, I got to tell you, before we went to Haiti, Jay told me something. He said, he said, I have arachnophobia. I hate spiders. They terrify me. And I didn't realize why he was telling me this, but once we got to Haiti, I realized they have some big tarantulas. Now, not tarantula like the black thing that you think of, but these are big spiders with real long legs, thin bodies, and they run around in your room at night. Now, some of you are cringing. Can imagine how Jay felt. But you know, Jay overcame his fear. And he went to Haiti because he felt that God was calling him there. And he went to Haiti and he ministered to those people for several years. And today, you know, most of you probably know that he's ministering in El Salvador. They have some big spiders there as well, huntsman spiders. And Jay is able to go there. He overcame that fear because he acted and he allowed the Holy Spirit to lead and direct his life. The spirit of fear can conquer you, or you can conquer it. Amen? Courage is not the absence of fear. I've heard this all my life. It's acting in spite of the fear. Fear will try to control you. We must choose to listen to the right voice. Listen to the voice of fear and we'll be destroyed. Listen to the voice of faith and we will accomplish all things that God has for us. This scripture, I'm going to wrap up with this scripture. Psalms 91:4. Psalms 91, if you have any fear, go to Psalms 91 and read that. If you read that Psalms 91 on a daily basis, you'll cast out fear. You'll just know that God is on your side and you will be able to walk in assurance of God keeping and protecting you. But Psalm 91, 4 and 5 says this, He shall cover you with His feathers and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. You shall not fear, because He's going to cover us like a mother hen and keep us and protect us. We have some chickens. It's been a long time since I've seen a mother hen. Back when I was a kid, my grandmother used to have chicks. But when there was danger, when those chicks felt like they might be harmed, they would run to their mother and gather under her wings and be protected. She would keep them there. She kept them warm. She kept them and protected them. This is the image that we have of God. No matter what comes our way, God is going to cover us and keep us. A story is told about a park ranger in Yellowstone National Park. They had a fire there, and lots of the trees were burned up. Some of the animals died during this fire. And as he was walking through the aftermath of the forest fire, trees burnt, he saw a bird, a pheasant, that was huddled beside a tree, and it still had a few feathers on it, but it was mostly toast. It was toasted, and he was disgusted by it. He picked up a stick, and he knocked it over. And when he knocked that bird over, out from underneath that bird ran several little pheasants, baby pheasants, that had been protected by their mother. She gave her life for their protection. Jesus gave his life for our protection. We can rest under the wings of the Almighty. Stand with me.
The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an anointed message from our pastor, Rob Barber.